appreciate the opportunity to come out and to preach here at Old Union. Good to spend some time with your pastor this afternoon prior to service. It's good to be back here. I appreciate a lot of the work that you all do here at Old Union Church. We have members at Lyons whose great-grandkids attend your school. And the minister's school for a long time has been something that I've looked forward to going to and experiencing when I've been able to do so. Frankly, I'm thankful for the youth retreat. I know that often you all contribute to that in some fashion or form. A lot of churches down here do. And I'm always thankful for that. There have been a few times in the past when I probably wouldn't have been able to afford it if you all didn't just pay for it outright, except for the T-shirts. The T-shirts are always, but that's good. And we're looking forward to that. Actually, my kids have invited some friends they know from school who go to some sort of evangelical church. Not sure if they've been saved, and they're planning on being there next weekend. So I'm thankful for that and hope for the best. I'm kind of known a little bit of using some humor. I don't know that that is going to happen a lot tonight because of the topic. Brother Mullins, I love him to death, worked with him for a long time. He'd get behind the pulpit and he'd say, "You're not supposed to say too many funny things behind the pulpit." And then I'd get behind the pulpit and kind of do that. But he never called me out one-on-one. So we got along. He dealt with it. I dealt with him. It was great. But he would make a joke now and then. Once in a blue moon, it happened. Turn your Bibles, if you would, this evening to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. It's a familiar passage. It's the Ten Commandments. I'm not going to bring a lot of intro into this except to say that God gave these commandments to the children of Israel from the mountain. And we're familiar with so many of these. And the one that I want to talk on today is something that's been on my heart. And it's a difficult topic, but unfortunately, the reality of it is one that we're going to have to deal with, maybe more and more. I hope not. I want to read one verse. It's verse 13. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. Now, the word kill there, if my understanding of the Hebrew is correct, is probably more precisely translated murder. The scripture does give allowance for killing in self-defense. In some cases, capital punishment, although let's be honest, governments have killed lots of people that they shouldn't have. And in some cases, in reference to war, albeit if you're fighting for Nazi Germany, I don't think the killing you're doing is morally right. So not even then, there are exceptions. But the focus here is not on murdering, not on killing people. You know, I was reading a book, I think, now this is going to sound like bragging if I pronounce his name, but I was reading a book written by the guy who started the Hare Krishna movement, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And Swami Prabhupada was arguing that you shouldn't kill animals and eat them because the Old Testament says thou shalt not kill. Now, when the Swami decided that Old Testament was scripture, I'm not sure. He was extraordinarily inconsistent with a lot of things in scripture. But he was wrong. It's not talking about killing animals to eat them or something like that. It's talking about murdering people. Okay. Now, I want to focus for just a moment. This sounds really, really elementary, but I want to focus on for just a moment why it's important not to kill people. Now, you might say, Tony, that is an irrelevant thing to preach on because none of us here are going to murder anyone anytime soon. And of course, I hope that's true. But I'll be honest, in the age and the day in which we live, do you know that's the case? That you might not have some young person in your midst that 10, 20 years from now might be tempted in that direction, and they might actually need to hear the truth. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says here, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." And we can go on about that, but on the sixth day of creation, God created mankind in his image, in his likeness. This does not mean that we as human beings are all-knowing. This does not mean that we're all-powerful. This does not mean that we're everywhere. This does not mean that we're Creator God or anything like that. And since the fall of man has happened, it doesn't mean that we're not sinful. Right? We are so different from God in so many ways, but there are attributes to human beings that are different than any other creature. You go to the zoo and sometimes you'll hear people say, well, our nearest relatives are the apes or something like that. I don't believe that. I believe that anatomically they're closer to us than sponges down in the ocean, but they're not human. They don't have a soul. There's nothing spiritual, really, about the ape at the zoo. There are a lot of differences between you and the ape in the zoo, one of which is that you get to drive home when you're done, and he has to stay there. There is a significant difference between the value of a human being and the value of an animal. And it's sad that I would have to say this out loud behind a pulpit, but we're getting to the point where it needs to be said. About a month and a half ago, I don't know how long it's been, and I realized that I was talking to your pastor, and actually this affects some of you, but there was a man in southern Indiana who was a brother of a couple of sisters who attend Unity Missionary Baptist Church in southern Indiana, in Charlestown, Indiana, and he had been murdered by his own son in a very brutal fashion. I have known this man's two of his sisters all my life, and they are beautiful, wonderful Christian people, and one of them plays the piano for them at Unity Church. I got to go to the funeral, and it was hard. But murdering other people is morally wrong. And you don't only destroy the person that you're murdering, you destroy the family and the friends and the loved ones of the person who died. It is horrible. The first man born of woman, and you all know this, and it's in Genesis chapter 4, you have the example of Cain and Abel. The first man born of woman was Cain. One of his brothers' names was Abel, and Abel worshiped God. Listen, think about that. You all know the story. The little ones here know the story. Abel worshiped God the way God wanted to be worshiped, and Cain didn't. And so Cain became envious and hateful of Abel. Friends, that is real today. I am amazed. I'm not really surprised by it anymore. But look at the life of Christ for just a little bit. When you go back and you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you look at his ministry, he preached hard truths to people, and he did it out of love. He did it out of the best place possible. Sometimes I've heard preachers, and sometimes maybe I've been one of those preachers, that maybe wasn't preaching from the best possible place, maybe not from just a heart of love, but Jesus always preached out of love, even when he preached to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, and he called them hypocrites. I believe the underlying desire of him was for them to turn from their sins and to put their faith in Jesus in order to be saved. But Jesus himself was hated because he was doing the will of God the Father. And so Abel worshiped God the way that God wanted him to. It made Cain angry. And one day in the field, it says that Cain slew him. Cain murdered him. Now that was the first time in the scripture that we have an example of someone killing another human being. Not by accident. not out of necessity, pure necessity, but because of rage or hate. I realize that a lot has been said about what I'm about to say, and you all know what I'm about to say, so I'll just say it. But, you know, Charlie Kirk wasn't killed because he was a mean, nasty, hateful person. He was killed because he lifted up Jesus too much. Long story short. And friends, we like to think about as Christians a lot of times where our society has gone and where things are headed. You know, in Romans chapter 1, it talks about what happens when people reject God, when people leave a belief in God, and they worship other things instead of the Creator. And in verse, in chapter 1 in Romans, verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy." What's the next one? Murder. "Debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." I want to focus on this. When people reject God and He gives them over to their reprobate ways, gives them over to a reprobate mind, and they start going in directions they shouldn't go. And friends, when people start leaving the reality that there is a God and that He has spoken what is right and what is wrong, that there is an objective, transcendent moral standard, and that we as human beings ought not to break those laws and rules, when people leave that thinking and they move forward, they are going to be more and more likely to commit these sins. And what it said here is that one of those sins was murder. And then look there again at that last part of that last verse in 32. "Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." It is a sick and twisted and demonic and carnal and godless mind, a reprobate mind that not only will murder, but will rejoice when other people do the same. That is wrong to the nth degree. Now, there are people in this life I like better than others. I've got one person in my family. I have gotten to the point where I just avoid them as much as I can because there's no point. But God have mercy if we ever are happy when someone is murdered. That is fundamentally wicked. And we know that is a reality. And now that we've all got connections to the internet and YouTube and TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and all these things, people are just letting their real self shine. They're letting their self shine forth so that everybody else can see just how wicked that they are. But friends, God does not want us. Have you ever heard of anyone murdering anyone else out of love? Has that ever even happened? I mean, maybe in an insane asylum on a bad day or something, but like out of love? I can't even comprehend that then. Out of love, murdering someone? Recently, the guy who did the murder of Charlie Kirk said he was going to murder him because of Charlie Kirk's hatred. look in the mirror for a minute. He might have had some hatred issues, but he didn't have them like his murderer did. No one is going to murder people out of hatred. Even the person that annoys you the most and that you're disgusted with maybe the most, that you have the most unnecessary conflict with, you should want them to do well. You should want them to be saved by the grace of God through Jesus Christ and to serve Him not only in this life, but to worship Him for all eternity. We should never get to the point where we hate people. And when we get to the point when we're hating people, we need to get down on our knees and ask God to forgive us and to take that hatred away from us. I can count on maybe one hand how many people I have at least momentarily hated. And what I have found is that you'll never be happy like that. It's better I'm just talking how I see it. The schools were closed over and over and over and over again back in the day. And I got to where I was just straight up angry, mad, hateful. And one day I just had to go to my kids' school. They were closed anyway. And I got down on my knees down in the parking lot and I just had to say, God, I don't know what's going on, but you have got to take this hate out of my heart. And you know what? He has. We don't need to be people who are hateful because hatred leads to murder. Hatred leads to killing. Our society these days has often said, well, it's we like to think that abortion is acceptable. Abortion is the taking of a human life before it's born. And people like to reframe the argument in 100 different ways, and I realize there are some really bad situations where some difficult decisions have to be made. But friends, I've heard people say before, they'll say, well, you know what, I'm against it except for incest and rape. Listen, there's nothing good about incest and rape. And I'm certainly all about supporting and being there for the victims of anybody who suffered through such things. But I will say this, I have personally known people who were conceived as a result of incest. And I have personally known people who were conceived as the result of rape. They're people. They're just as human as me or you. And to snuff them out because they're inconvenient, there are so many more options than that. But our society as a whole has given a huge permission structure that people should just fornicate whenever and where, however and with whom, however they want, as long as there's consent. Our society really doesn't have an issue with anything, at least segments of our society don't. But if one goes from the biblical practice, one does not run into those issues as often. Euthanasia is another practice where people are intentionally murdered, usually in the West anymore these days, supposedly with consent. They do it a lot in Canada, I've read now. And the idea being is that, well, you have so many health problems that you're going to cost the taxpayers so much money to keep alive that we'll just push you on down the road. I tell you something I learned a long time ago is that the value of a person is not dependent upon their mental capabilities or their ability to make money. Some of the best Christian people I've ever known in my life who had a desire to glorify Christ and to bring the gospel of Jesus to everyone they could, were lesser educated people with mental issues who had physical problems as well, but they knew who had saved them and they were out telling people about it. When I used to preach at a particular nursing home. And we had this one sister from Lyons, and she was the most blunt person. She loved the Lord, but she was the kind of person, you know, like if someone, and I'm not saying this to hate on anyone, if someone Catholic came into the congregation, we're just glad you're here, come on, sit down. She would go up to him and say, there ain't nothing to that. She was that woman, right? She was that one. You're like, don't let Sister Virginia near that person right now. She's too blunt. But she loved Christ, and she would invite these people from the nursing home to come and to listen. And she would sell it too. She'd be my PR person at the nursing. I didn't pay her a penny. I maybe bought her a Pepsi once or twice out of the vending machine when she was out of money, but that was about it. But she would be my PR person and tell the people that I was coming to preach. And I noticed that after she died, my crowd died by about 2/3 because she wasn't there working the place. Friends, it's not about how much money that you have. It's not about whether or not you are the sharpest person at church. It's not about if you're the most physically fit person, but it's about knowing Christ and serving Him. And to say people don't have value or as much value simply from an economic standpoint is simply wrong. The other one I'm going to hit on too, and like I said, this just isn't a light sermon, and I wish it could be. I like those. They're more fun. Is suicide. When God says you will not murder, thou shalt not kill, as it were, He means you too. And if you ever get to the point where you think that that's an option, please, one, take it to God. And two, reach out to someone. You know, if brother, I'm not telling you how to do your job, brother. I've never pastored a church, and there's probably a lot of good reasons why. I don't know. But let me tell you something. Even if his sermon stinks for the next year, if somebody comes to him and says, I'm thinking about killing myself, and he can talk them out of it in some way, it'll be worth a few stinky sermons. I mean, amen? What if he fumbles up the juice during communion? Well, who cares about that? Friends, I have lost friends in the sense that I can remember years ago, I had a friend that I used to spend a lot of time with, and her dad had made a lot of bad mistakes. He had been a motorcycle gang back in the day, and he had done a lot of wrong things. And then since he'd gotten married, he'd gotten AIDS, and he was thinking about trying to kill himself. And he comes to me, and he's married to his wife, and he's got all those issues involved, and he wanted to take his own life. And you know, his stepdaughter didn't want anything to do with him anymore. She wanted them to get a divorce and move on, and she didn't want anything to do with her stepfather anymore. And so, you know what? I went and ministered to the man that he not take his own life, that there's faith and that there's hope in Jesus Christ. And the fact was, is she never really liked me anymore. You know what? I don't care. I do care. But not enough to change what I would have done. If me going up to his little apartment on Old Louisville on the 3rd floor, going through a bunch of marijuana smoke on the way up to tell him about how there's hope in Jesus Christ makes his stepdaughter mad at me, then it makes his stepdaughter mad at me. Every human being is valuable. Every human being is precious. And we stop looking at people like they're valuable in the eyes of God. We're going to start treating them like they're not valuable in the eyes of God. Every human being you meet. A few years, I do too many anecdotes, Brother Brad. I need to get in the word more, brother. You're just going to have to deal with it today, though. A couple of years ago, my wife's uncle passed away, and my wife is from northeastern Kentucky, and her uncle barely knew how to read, and he was a tobacco farmer for many years, and real interesting, nice guy, I thought, what do you say about Uncle Ron? Never got married, never had any kids, lived in a shack, and he tobacco farmed until he couldn't, and then he moved into the nursing home probably earlier than he should have, just so he could have people take care of him. wasn't really the most extraordinary life by a lot of perspectives. But I found a place, and I can't quote it off the top of my head, where C.S. Lewis said, "There is no such thing as an ordinary person." Everyone you meet has an immortal soul that will spend eternity in heaven or in hell. I don't care how ordinary or boring they might seem. People are made in the image of God, and we will continue on well past the end of this life. And as things darken, you know, I see a couple things happening. At least I like to joke with them sometimes at church, some of the kids. I say I have four eyes, right? So sometimes I'll even like do this, point towards my face instead of with two, I'll point to it with four, like I'm watching you, because I have four eyes instead of two. But one of the things that I see among some in the world that we're living in is, yes, the darkness gets darker. But something else I think I see flickers of is the fact that I think some people are getting more serious about their faith at the same time, about their relationship with Christ. I want to ask you today, is that the case with you? Are you getting more serious about your walk with Christ? Are you just coming to church so that the neighbors can see that your car's out of the driveway? Are you just coming to church to make grandma or grandpa or mom or dad happy with you? Are you just coming to church to make yourself feel better about yourself? Are you just coming to church so you can put money in the plate so you can write it off on your taxes? Or are you going to church and are you walking day by day? It's not even so much about church. It's so much deeper than church. Church is a wonderful institution that Christ has established, and we should honor it and partake in it. He did not create it so that we could just look at it lovingly from a distance and admire it from afar, but He created it so that we could be involved in it. But the foundation is deeper than that. It's when you're in the hospital and you don't know if you're ever going to make it back to church again. If you're in the nursing home and you don't know if you're ever going to make it to church again on this side of eternity because you're dying or you're sick and you're not doing well and you may not be able to get out. Friends, there is depth to knowing the God who instituted the church. There's the depth to knowing the God who had the Bible written, to know Him and to walk with Him. The Bible says Noah walked with God. It doesn't say Noah went to church on Sunday and behaved himself for about 2 hours and then went and lived his own life afterwards. We ask sometimes, what's the issue with this church or that church? I don't have all the answers. But I can tell you what, if the people were walking and talking with God and in His Word more on a daily basis, church would be a bit better, I think. It's just a corporate worship of a God who dwells with us individually. Excuse me, I'm getting over cold. I'm 90% over it. But friends, God does not want us to murder. He does not want us to kill. He doesn't want us to condone it. If your friend says, "I'm thinking about getting an abortion," try to come up with a way to persuade them not to and be there for them. We ought to be the people who are loving. We ought to be about the people. You know, sometimes we despair of life. Have you ever despaired of life? Job despaired of life. There have been some times down the road when my wife would be so sick for so long in the hospital and all these things, and she's still not doing fabulous, but sometimes I would just about want to despair, and then I would start reading Job, and I would always feel a little better because Job had it worse than me. At least he'd been through more than I had been through. But friends, at moments like that in your life, when things are hard, when they're difficult, that's when it comes down really between you and God. And we all go through things, amen? Have you been through some stuff? You can't live but a few years and go through some things. But Christ is our rock. He is our salvation. And so what I want to say, this is probably a short Tony sermon today by Tony standards. But what is the solution to people that want to murder and then go through with it and people celebrating it? What is the solution to people wanting to take the lives of people who haven't been born yet? What is the solution to euthanasia? What is the solution to all these things? You're not going to vote your way out of this, people. The solution is the good news of Jesus Christ. Pure and simple. The solution is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friends, if you're saved by the grace of God and you're living for him, you're not going to want to murder people. And the problems that we have in our society like this, it's a heart problem. Our hearts are desperately wicked. They're sick. They're desperately wicked. There's something wrong with the hearts of men. But they need the transforming power of Jesus Christ. And so you want to ask, how can we fight against such darkness that's in the world? You know what you do? You serve Jesus. And you know what? What if there were a grassroots organization built on exalting Christ? What if there were some sort of, grassroots organization that was about studying the Bible and glorifying Christ and trying to bring lost people to Jesus? Wouldn't it be neat if an organization like that existed, where we could come together and fellowship one with another and get to be there for each other when times are good and when times are bad? Wait a minute. I'm being a little facetious. Wait a minute. Isn't that in the book? Jesus established a church to help meet those needs. You know, I love my church. I look back at what the size of it, as far as numbers go, back when Paul Bryson was there back in the 80s, and we are so much smaller than we were back when I got saved back in 1988. But I want to tell you what I do see with that little church, and yeah, we're old people heavy. But you know what I see about it? As I see people that are more serious about their faith as a whole than I did 10, 20 years ago. And I would rather be with a church that's serious about serving Christ and reaching people that maybe is struggling a little bit with numbers than some place where it's all just show. The gospel of Jesus Christ is what transforms people. And you know, a lot of times we like to get distracted from that. We like to move away from that. If there's ever been a theme that I just can't get away from or run away from, Brother Brad, is that we need to focus more on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't know why I can't ever just shut up about it. You'd think I'd finally preach my fill on this topic and move on to, the tabernacle or something. Which I like the tabernacle. It's neat. But even the tabernacle points back to Jesus. The old law of Moses shows us that we need Jesus. The book of Ecclesiastes shows us that we have no hope outside of Jesus. The Old Testament shows us the lineage all the way from Adam up until about 400 BC, give or take. And then Matthew takes us the rest of the way. Luke takes us the rest of the way from the time all the way back to Abraham, all the way up to Jesus. The whole thing centers around Christ. And our lives should center around Christ. When your life centers around Christ, you're not going to go around killing people. That sounds like a pretty obvious statement, doesn't it? But in the world we're living in, it needs to be said. I want to encourage you today. I don't want to discourage you. I want to encourage you today to serve Christ and to let him be known. Invite the people at work that you go, that you talk to. Tell them about the Lord and invite them to church. Brad would so be so mad with you if you brought 10 people next Sunday with you to church. He would just be, no, he wouldn't. He might if they acted all ugly and everything all the time. But he'd probably still appreciate the effort. My hope and desire today is to say that there is a solution to these problems. But the solution to the problem is not give more money to the government or to take more money away from the government or all of these things that we like to talk about. The issue is that we need to be about our Father's business, bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to lost people. And yeah, everything's getting darker in a lot of ways. But you know what? Out of the darkness, sometimes the light just shines all the more brightly. I was over at my brother's church. I love my brother. My brother in Christ and my brother, carnally speaking. And, you know, the good things do happen. He had been living with a woman for 15 years. He'd been excluded from the church. And then a little over a year ago, he got married to the woman. He apologized to the church, and he joined another one, but it's still a good church, and he's been on fire for the Lord ever since. Friends, we just need to hold our ground and keep on praying and keep on trying until things start to break through. And you know, he has gotten involved with going to some of those alcohol and addiction recovery centers, and he's no preacher, but he'll go over there and he'll pray with people and he'll amen the minister. You know, one of those young men who was there at one of those recovery centers looks like he's a little kid to me now, Sister Megan, because I'm getting old and these 18-year-olds look like 12 to me anymore. But this little guy, he looked like he was wishing about 18 to me. But you know, he came to church last Sunday night after he'd been coming because he knew about the church from the recovery center. And he went before the preacher even preached. He went up to the front and called upon the Lord and got saved. Just this goofy little 18-year-old skinny kid. But they had reached out to the recovery home by the grace of God, and he continued to come to church, and he got saved. And you know what? The church rejoiced in it that he got saved. And he didn't say everything like a missionary Baptist, but you know, we ought to be past that by now. How many people you know that weren't raised missionary Baptist are going to say, and the sin just rolled away? I never met a person outside of missionary Baptist land who used that phrase. I'm not necessarily against it, but it's just a thing we say sometimes. I don't say it, but some of you might, and that's fine. But they don't have to sound exactly like a missionary Baptist when they get saved. They can sound like themselves as long as they get saved. My wife, after she got saved back in 98, she used the word accept Christ once, and I was like, oh, did she get it? Oh, grow up, Tony Clark. She got it. You should tell Denise that. I don't know how to tie this up in a pretty bow tonight. I really don't. But I want to encourage you here today to just let the love of Christ shine from your life when you're at work. Some of you say, I'm retired. I don't work anymore. And I go to the doctor 3 times a week. And I have to get all this looked at and worked on and scanned and all these things. And well, then show the light of Christ when you're go getting your MRI done. And your next door neighbor, show the light of Christ to them as well. We all reach people. We all talk to people. And I want to encourage you to do that. We ought to be a group of people that are just so excited about what Jesus has done for us that we want everybody to know about it. Brother Brad, I wish this was tied together a little bit better than it is. But the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. But the opposite side of that is live. Live for the glory of Christ. And love your neighbor as yourself. I do will say this too. If things continue in our society going on the trajectory that they're on, we will see more of it. You might as well let yourself deal with that now so that when and if it happens, even more and more so, that you'll say, well, you know, Tony told me that that might happen. I hope I'm wrong, okay? I really do. But the reality is, you can look at the 20th century, you can look at what happened in Nazi Germany, you can look at what happened in fascist Italy, you can look at what happened in Eastern Europe under communism, or the Soviet Union in communism, or China under communism. All of those are atheistic regimes, basically. People argue Hitler. I think he was an atheist myself. But when people forsake the true and the living God, that opens them up to do anything and everything. And it's just a matter of time before they realize it and they enact it. And people are always looking for peace. I can remember when I was a teenager, they wanted civil unions. And they said, we'll just be happy if we have civil unions so that we can have hospital visitation and inheritance rights. And then that didn't make them happy. And they wanted to call it marriage. And then they wanted to go from there. And then it was the trans. They're never happy. You know why they're never happy? It's because they don't know the contentment that comes with knowing Christ. That's what they're looking for. The one thing they won't seem to want to search for often is the one thing that can bring them relief and freedom and peace. And so we go from one step to the other, and then they get to the point, well, let's just kill people because they're in our way of our John Lennon Imagine song, or just our little paradise here on earth that we're looking for. As the world continues to get darker, we should expect things like this to happen more and more, but we should also just work the harder to glorify Jesus. Was that clear? I'm sorry that was a mess today. That's a mess of a Tony sermon tonight, you know. But if any of y'all leave here, I will make a joke. If y'all leave here and say, Tony Clark said it was okay to kill people, I will come to your house and knock on your door, and I'll be like, "You, that was wrong. You don't tell people that." You really weren't listening. But I'm thankful that we have what life that we have. I'm thankful that we get to do what we get to do, and for the cause of Christ. And I have found that the only true happiness is in serving Him. When I was younger, I was more awkward, and I didn't have much confidence, and I just confided in Christ. And now that I'm getting a bit older, I got 3 years till 50, brother. 3 years till 50. I'm slowing down. I am not getting smaller. No matter how much you go to the gym, I'm on more medication. I used to not be on anything. Wasn't it nice? Nothing. Now I got like four or five of them, allergies, blood pressure, different things. But I have found that through it all, the peace and the joy comes from knowing and serving Jesus Christ. And I hope that you have that today. Brother, I feel like I ought to keep going, but I don't have anything else. And so I'm going to let it go at that. But I hope that we've been maybe a hope to you, a blessing to you in some way, and trying to make sense of what things have been going on. And I just want to encourage you, serve the Lord.